Hi guys, I'm Miss Strachan. I have Miss Lowry, Miss Dignam and Miss Cowling with me, and we're all going to have a chat about Blood Brothers, and we're just going to talk about the plot, the themes and the characters, and we may, if you're lucky, throw in a few quotes. So, the first thing I'd like to talk about really is the prologue. The narrator appears, he's quite forceful, he tells us about what's going to happen in the story, foreshadowing the ending. So we see that the Johnson twins, who were born on the same day, obviously, because they're twins, died at the end of the play. And that's really quite important because, obviously, we already know what's going to happen right at the beginning of the play. The twins are called Mickey and Edward, but we don't find out about their birth immediately.
We are, we're sort of told by the narrator, well, we're asked by him to give our own sort of view of what's going to happen. We're asked to judge the mother of these twins, and sort of invites us to have our own view of what is about to happen.
That's right. And it's Mrs. Johnson who is the mother of the twins. And she works for a wealthy woman, Mrs. Lyons, who, as a housekeeper, who tries to persuade Mrs. Johnson that she needs to give up one of her children because Mrs. Lyons can't have children and is absolutely desperate to have them. And that is the start of the kind of chain of events where superstition plays a big part in the story, because Mrs. Johnson is very superstitious and Mrs. Lyons makes her swear on the Bible, which is obviously, for a religious person, quite a big deal. So the fact that Mrs. Lyons makes her swear on the Bible shows, emphasises how superstitious that Mrs. Johnson is, and means that it's a pact that she won't be able to break.
And we find out that about Mrs. Johnson pretty early on. One quote that really stands out to me is when she says, the shoes on the table, take them off. She says that to Mrs. Lyons not long after they first met in the first scene, and it seems, it stands out to me because we know there's quite a difference in sort of the hierarchy between those two characters. Mrs. Lyons is much sort of higher on the social
social class.
Yep. So for Mrs. Johnson to be so horrified by something that Mrs. Lyons has just done is quite shocking for the reader, and just shows how superstitious Mrs. Johnson is, because she's willing to sort of, you know, tell Mrs. Lyons off immediately or question her.
And it emphasises, like you say, the class differences, doesn't it?
Yes.
But also, earlier in the play, we've already found out that Mrs. Johnson has already got 7 children, mm-hmm. which is a lot of children. Her husband has left her, so she's a single mother, which obviously the play's based in the late 70s, early 80s. Being a single mother then was frowned upon, so actually Mrs. Johnson is already socially lower than Mrs. Lyons. Mrs. Lyons has got a nice big house that they bought in order to have lots of children, and then find out they couldn't have children.
So Mrs. Lyons and Mrs. Johnson are polar opposites, really, aren't they? Because I suppose you could say that Mrs. Johnson doesn't have a lot of money and has lots of children that she needs to look after, whereas Mrs. Lyons has a lot of money but is ever so lonely and doesn't have any children at
yeah.
all, which is what gets them into the predicament that they find themselves in when Mrs. Lyons asks to take on one of the twins.
But it's not even an ask, is it? It's a demand.
Yes.
She's quite rude to Mrs. Johnson, and she says, give one to me. And then they sing the song, don't they? My Child. And that's quite important because it is a musical. So actually there are songs embedded within the play. And My Child emphasises the difference in their social class. So we have a bike with no wheels on, the child, if he grows up with Mrs. Lyons, will actually have a silver platter to eat on.
And a bed of his own.
A bed of his own. All those kind of things that we take for granted today, but actually perhaps as a mother of seven children, Mrs. Johnson didn't take for granted at that point in time.
And of course, one of the other, a secondary character, but a character that does crop up a few times, is the milkman, which is sort of reflects the time, Margaret Thatcher government, and Margaret Thatcher's nickname being the milk snatcher, and that being sort of that representing how actually there wasn't really a lot of welfare at the time. So if you had seven children, perhaps you wouldn't get the help that you needed from the government in order to make sure that they're all being looked after, and that was obviously a really big issue for Mrs. Johnston.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well that the milkman was actually the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
So the narrator came in and out as different minor characters, showing that he knew exactly what was going on, and that's the kind of, you know, that's part of what makes him omniscient, so all-knowing. He knows everything that's going on within the play. So moving on from this part of the play, Mrs. Lyons does get the baby, and Edward, we jump forward 7 years at a time, which is quite interesting structurally, because it means that we can see the boys growing up. So we see the twins growing up. So we jump forward 7 years, and Mickey, who is Mrs. Johnson's child, and Edward, who is Mrs. Lyons' child, meet at the age of seven, and they immediately have some kind of affiliation with each other. They seem to get on. They're very, very different. Mickey says to Edward, "Give a sweet, will ya?" Which is in a Liverpool accent, not my accent. And Edward finds him quite funny, so they immediately get on really, really well. Mickey is surprised that Edward gives him a sweet straight away without actually being rude to him, and it shows again the difference in the way that they're being brought up. And Mickey asks him where he comes from, and he comes from up there, whereas Mickey is down there. So again, it's that reference to social class and the hierarchy in Blood Brothers. Mickey and Edward become blood brothers. So symbolically, they're already blood brothers because they're actually twins. So they were born of the same womb. But actually they
do it physically, don't they? They cut themselves and hold hands, and it's kind of their blood becomes one.
Yeah, and it's kind of, well, that's quite an iconic image really of the two boys at seven swearing that they will be friends forever. And then we find out as time goes on throughout the play that the mothers aren't very happy when they discover that the two boys have become friends, and they get banned from seeing each other. Edward's mother, Mrs. Lyons, doesn't like her hanging out in the wrong end of the end of town, which is where Mickey comes from. And they get caught by the police larking around and being silly, and the police actually reinforce that social class difference, don't they?
Yeah.
Because Edward is taken home, and the policeman says, "No, sir, it's just hijinks," to Mr. Lyons, that's Mrs. Lyons' husband, who we don't see very often in the play, interestingly. But to Mrs. Johnson, he says, "You better watch, because he's going to end up in jail." So the way that the children's playground antics are treated by the police is completely different, even though they're both together and they're both doing the same things. So it just reinforces, Willie Russell is reinforcing that the way that society represents wealth and poverty. So that's, you know, two of our main themes, wealth and poverty.
There's this desperate need for, by both the mothers to sort of separate the twins, and the fact that they keep coming back and they keep finding each other just emphasises the idea of possibly fate coming in and sort of taking control, or this idea of the superstition that keeps sort of coming up, that maybe the superstition is what's making these twins keep finding each other in the end. But yeah, it makes her, there's this desperate want. Maybe in, on one side, Miss Lyons not wanting to lose her son and her to go back to him, to go back to her, his original mother, and Mrs. Johnson, that terrible fear of losing her son because of the superstition that they will both die.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. Mrs. Lyons, shortly after the incident with the police, pleads kind of mental health issues. She finds it too difficult to live where they're living, so they move out into the countryside. So therefore splitting Mickey and Edward up. But because of the way that the houses were being built for poorer families in the new towns just outside of the big towns like Liverpool, so a new town was cropping up, and actually Mrs. Johnson was lucky enough to get a place in one of these new houses, and that meant that 7 years later, when they were 14, within the first act, they meet again. Mm-hmm. So Mickey and Edward are thrown together again, despite Mrs. Lyon's best efforts to avoid it. And we see Linda, then a childhood friend, sort of becoming more predominant in the play. And she seems to be friends with both Edward and both Mickey. Edward seems to like her, maybe romantically, but he encourages Mickey to ask her out. So we see this kind of foreshadowing almost of the ending again. So the end of Act One scene, the end of the Act One kind of foreshadows the end of Act Two. We're going to wrap it up there for now for Act One, and we'll come back and we'll do another Act Two podcast later.